It's the 5 o'clock hour of Overdrive. Mark Rowe in for Brian Hayes. Brian will be back on Monday after a week of mulching, cutting the grass, planting, playing a little bit of golf. He'll have his he'll have hot takes, that's for sure. He'll have hot takes about our new segment, Hazy B or Hazy B Quiet, which was well-received yesterday.
It's a hit.
It was definitely a hit.
I loved it.
Oh, it's not the first time that you've created a hit, so good on you. Yes guy, yes. No guy, Hazy B Quiet. I can't wait to see what's next.
Well, yes guy, no guy is the one I'm most proud of.
You should because, be.
Yeah.
just created taking a peek, too.
Wow.
Oh, taking a peek was strutty.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the phrase? Now. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery. Well,
yes.
Tatty stealing yes guy, no guy. Like, there you go.
Yeah. He gets so.
I don't know. I told him about it when I first started working with him. I was like, I do this thing. It's called Yes Guy, No Guy. And he started scratching his mustache. And he's like,
ugh, guy.
Yeah. Started petting Bella, his cat.
Yeah. He started petting Bella, his upper lip. And he said, I'm going to steal that. Next thing I know, the next night I turn it on. I'm going to do a segment called Yes Guy, No Guy. I'm like, this guy's unreal.
Yes Guy.
Yes Guy.
I love it.
Oh, awesome stuff. Well, like you said, we're looking forward to this 5 o'clock hour with the guest that we have, Leo Rowden's at 5:25, Mr. Twine and Wine, Al's brother at 5:45, live from the attic in Niagara.
Yeah. I know. That'll be awesome. And you know he's just going to be sweating up a storm, too. It's going to go south for Al's brother and his underpants.
Well, to steal a line from Hayes, has he been moving? Has he been shaken, or has he just been?
I don't know. We're going to check in on the diet. We're going to check in on everything.
Yeah.
See how Al's brother. It's almost like a health check on him to see how he's doing.
There he is.
Look at that stud.
He is a stud.
I hope he's wearing that sweater.
Yeah. We'll get him to handicap the NHL series too. He's pretty good at the odds.
He is.
He is
very good at that.
So we'll get his take on all the different series. D-Row, you have all them lined up, the different matchups, and he'll give us his take on each one.
Of course.
Love it.
Pierre LeBrun's going to join us in a couple of minutes. Hockey will begin phase two on Monday. The headline is probably more exciting than what it actually is. I guess facilities are open to players. But, you know, players, they're not mandatory. And we still have a month to go before training camp, and that's at best.
It's at least a positive.
It's something,
guys.
You're right, absolutely.
It's a positive. Like, it's a, you know, unfortunately, you can't just compare the NBA and go, well, the NBA did this, now you're going to do. The NHL's going to, they're going to go methodically through this. So stage two has started. So you're going to open that up. Teams are going to be able to open their facilities to players. They're going to have to adhere by the rules. The rules were laid out. You know, no coaches on the ice. All of the above that has been basically brought forth in the documents, but I'm fine with it. At least to me, they're pushing the narrative forward. I would love for them, you know, if you want concrete dates, I would love for them to say June 15th we're gonna give you where the hubs are, the cities. You know, June 15th we'll know. I don't know. That's the thing. Person in hockey, I keep asking, you know, are you hearing the hubs? Well, I think they're leaning towards here. Everyone's got a different opinion about it, but the National Hockey League hasn't. I'm sure in their minds they know exactly where they want to be, but, you know, whether it's because of the civil unrest or because of the actual quarantine situation, they're up against it on either side, Mark.
That's been brought up a lot with the protests going on throughout the United States. Those are mass gatherings. A lot of people are wearing masks, but not everyone. And just that we know, one of the few things we know, that is a breeding ground for the virus. How much does that affect? Like, I don't know who's in, you know, if Gary Bettman truthfully told you who the two leading candidates are. But say it's Vegas and Columbus. How much did it affect those two cities? And how much does it affect their decision to keep it in the United States or to turn around and say, let's just do two in Canada. We make more money in Canada because of the dollar.
Right.
And Vancouver and Edmonton have low numbers. Let's just do it that way. I don't know if that's even a possibility. But
I'm sure. To be honest, Mark, I think everything's on the table. And that's been proven true based on how they're going through this. Because it wasn't that long ago we were hearing, well, what are they going to do with the playoff format? What are they going to try and finish a regular season and bring everyone back? Or are they going to try a playoff format? Well, where do you saw off the teams? Is it, you know, I think Mark Giordano on our show last week talked about they had even had the conversation of where teams were at after 68 games. So going back in the standings and taking a look. You know, there was probably no magic formula that worked for everyone. You know, the 24 teams seemed to work. You know, you're picking up Montreal, you're picking up Chicago, where both of those guys were, both of those teams were very thin to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I so far, I don't have a complaint other than, yes, it's almost like hurry up and wait. Yeah. So I get it. But I think the NHL is at least doing what they can with this process. But like I say, my next biggest thing is I'm hoping they're circling a date and going, yeah, we're gonna announce by June 15th because we got to work backwards from August, whatever, 5th or 1st.
Let's ask Pierre. Yeah, let's ask Pierre when they're going to come with the heater.
We have questions. Our next guest often has the answers. Join us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is our hockey insider, Pierre LeBrun. How are you, Pierre?
I'm all right, boys.
I love it. I love it on a Friday. You know, we all have questions about what's happening, when the hub cities will be announced. What do you know at this point? What is the timeline about making that announcement for the two cities that will host the rest of this season?
Yeah, so I checked in on that yesterday, and the league has not cut down the list from the 10 teams that they announced last week that were on the short list. And they've done that on purpose. Commissioner Gary Bettman doesn't want to cut down the list until the 11th hour. They want to stay as nimble as they can because the pandemic keeps shifting, and they don't want to be caught announcing two cities now and then realizing by late July, when they hope to drop the puck, that one of those two cities has become a hotspot. Not that they can totally control that, but what they're trying to do right now is keep as many cities in the group as long as they can. So league staff this week continue to work out logistical details for 10 different possible hub cities. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, with I'd say about 2 weeks from now, I think the league's going to have to start cutting down.
Pierre, you said before, I heard you a couple of weeks ago saying, you know, everyone's excited. There's general excitement about the NHL coming back, but don't get too excited here. I mean, at the last minute, there might be something, you know, they pull the plug, whether it be medical or just the virus. Like, are you still kind of cautiously optimistic about this?
Well, I mean, listen, I'm just trying to do my job, and I know that I've had some Twitter followers and some...
No, I totally agree with you, by the way, yeah, Pierre. Like, everyone's so fascinated with this, but it might not happen.
No, that's right, and I'm just trying to keep people honest through this process, and I think a lot of fans were confused when the league did a pretty glitzy thing announcing the format, and I'm just trying to tell people the format's just step one. Mm-hmm. And even after yesterday, again, another announcement that the format had been finalized, but again... The preliminary discussions are just that right now on phase three and phase four. The NHLPA and the NHL have yet to get going on in a serious way on negotiating training camp and the hub city protocol. That's the whole ball game. Mm-hmm. Is that negotiation? You know, as a player said to me this week, you know, we voted yes on the format, which is if we're playing, here's what it's going to look like. The next vote is going to be, are we playing? And that's going to be a real big vote. And so that's a couple of weeks away. You know, just getting through phase two was good. To finally announce phase two would commence next week. I actually put out a list of the 24 teams today about how every team is treating phase two differently. It's really interesting. I mean, the Leafs hope to open Monday, and they've got 20 players in the city. The Montreal Canadiens hope to open their facility next Wednesday. They got 3 players in the city. Like, every team is different depending on where their players went. The Carolina Hurricanes have 7 players in their market, but they've decided not to open their facility next week. St. Louis Blues are not opening next week. Well, because if you don't have your full team, and if the players are happy with the way their workouts are going now, i.e. they found their own ice, it's easier for them to keep doing that than perhaps to go to the NHL facility where you got to go for the temperature check and the testing and all these things and all the protocol that was announced in phase two. So it's really interesting from team to team how everyone has kind of taken a different tack to what phase two means, the small group workouts.
Well, you know, Pierre, I read your article, and you know, I would say that I would argue the common theme outside of Toronto, which Toronto you mentioned has, you know, so many guys back here. You know, Montreal has so little, but Montreal's been a hot spot. And you know, Tampa and some of these warm weather places, guys stay. Well, yeah, big shocker. They're going to stay in an area where they can, you know, have some form, especially in Florida, where things loosened a lot quicker than other scenarios. But when I look at this whole process, like, do you think it just makes sense for guys to stay home, you know, or stay where they are as far as where they're going through this pandemic, instead of rushing back to a home city? There's no guarantee that you're even going to play until that next phase. Does it make sense for them to just stay put, right?
Yeah, I think so, Noodles, and I want to know what Odax thinks of this, but, like, you know, let's just bring up Austin Matthews and Freddie Anderson. Those are the easy examples because they're one of the few Leafs who won't be back when phase two starts next week. But why should they? We don't even know.
Because I'm just thinking PR for the league. Like, you want that money shot where the Austin Matthews walking into a rink, Freddie Anderson walking into the rink. Just for NHL fans, Sidney Crosby with his hockey equipment on, Patrick Kane with his, you know, carrying a bag into the Chicago rink. Just for excitement, PR, like, you get those shots and people start thinking, oh, maybe I got to watch that in a month. I just think for PR, it would be great. And it's great for the players, too, and the organizations. When the stars are around, everything's a little bit better, Pierre. You know that, being around these guys.
For sure. But don't forget, like, as I said today in my piece, like, the Leafs have 20 guys, but three of them are in quarantine right now. So whenever Matthews and Anderson come back, they're going to have to quarantine. Now, there may be something where the Canadian government announces within the next week, perhaps, depending on who you believe, that they can amend that for pro athletes, and then that would be obviously a game changer for all the NHL players coming back to Canadian teams. But in the meantime, until that's the case, I think that if you're Austin Matthews or Freddie Anderson, you might as well, they've got a great routine set up, and they got ice in Arizona, figure out, you know, if training camp isn't until July 15th, I think you got to stay where you're happy. And listen, the Vancouver Canucks have three players in town right now. They're going to open phase two with three players. So Vancouver right now has decided they're not going to open their facility probably till June 12th. They're around there. Minnesota Wild is probably looking at June 23rd. So not everyone's opening next week because a lot of them, their players are all over the place and happy with where they are.
And geography plays a big factor in this. And it's apples and oranges, but it sounds like the Raptors are going to report to Orlando earlier than other teams just so they don't have to worry about the border and have players go through the quarantine process a few times.
Right.
Have you heard of any teams who are contemplating having their training camp in a city other than their own?
Right. So it's funny you say that. Jim Benning of the Canucks did mention the possibility last week, right? Mm-hmm. Again, because of the fact that so many of his players are outside the country and they were worried about the 14-day quarantine. Now, again, if the Canadian government decides to play a ball on that, then that changes things, and then you don't have to worry about that. I mean, I tell you what, there were some teams that were worried that they might have to move phase two to another city, but as it turns out, all 24 markets in return to play have been able to get the clearance locally. I was talking to Lou Lamoriello today, and, you know, that was of interest to them, but they're going to be able to open next week for the Islanders, and that was probably in doubt a few weeks ago, right, and when you talk about hotspots. But that's the next big piece of news will be if the Canadian government says, okay, you know what, as long as you guys come back and are with your team and so on, maybe they amend the 14-day quarantine, and that'll change things dramatically for a lot of Canadian teams.
Pierre, I don't know if you've dug real deep into it, but I'm, you know, obviously a new CBA has to be sorted out as well. I mean, and I'm, you know, reading, and I know you guys are chipping away at it, but, you know, is it something, like, there's just so many moving parts right now. They're trying to return to play. They're trying to figure out the hub cities. And then all on top of that, you know, hey, it would be nice to sort out a CBA and have a plan moving forward so that we can work hand in hand to kind of rebuild the game, rebuild the economics of the game. Are you hearing any, you know, chatter on that and any type of headway potentially?
Yeah. So that's huge too, Noodles. I'm glad you mentioned that because, while for some players, the biggest part in all this is when they finally see the details on the hub cities and the protocol, whether or not they want to go through that. For other players, I'm hearing from it's, what's the financial clarity before we commit to this? I mean, what are we buying into here over the next couple of years in terms of escrow and everything else? And so the NHLPA is busy trying to form its negotiating committee and putting some players on there. And the league and the PA at some level have already been talking about CBA stuff, but certainly the negotiations on a long-term extension are going to take a whole other level here soon. And that's important because I do think there are a lot of agents and players who, if not an actual extension in place, certainly want to have some clarity on what the players are coming back to. Like how much on the dollar are they losing over the next couple of years here? And could a long-term CBA, if at all possible, help stabilize that situation, right? Maybe you could limit escrow and
right.
You know, spread it over a number of years and all kinds of ideas that are out there. And you know, I talked to Donald Fehr last week, and certainly his intention was to continue to have those economic discussions with Gary Bettman.
Are the Olympics still on the table?
Not heard that a whole lot. I got to be honest, that's probably not.
That's
a front
the least
burner
of people's
issue right
problems.
Now when you consider how the 2021 season, I know the Olympics wouldn't be till the year after, but when you consider how the calendar is going to be thrown into chaos over the next couple of years.
Yeah, you just wonder if this kills it, right? Like if it was on life support before this.
Mm-hmm. Let's put it this way. I've not asked the question, so okay. I can't say that it's not still going to be an item that the players are going to push for, but On all the things that are on the table right now for each side, I don't know that it's a priority.
Right. Awesome stuff, Pierre. Hopefully the Cowboys sign Dak Prescott. That's all I got.
I'll tell you what, if there is football, I'm liking their chances.
Oh, get serious. You do this every year.
I know. I'm a
sucker. Then there's an epic collapse, and then you have no answers. You're like, well, they're still good. What about next year? And then it's a vicious cycle.
That CeeDee Lamb could be.
And O-Dog is that really good friend. He's the first text I get when the Cowboys are getting massacred. He's like one of the first texts. He loves it.
And by the way, Pierre, I have some news for you. I'm now a Buccaneers fan.
I heard through the grapevine. Wow. Mm.
Yeah.
That is. I don't know about that.
He's come over to the conference. So.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well,
I'm sticking.
I hope Tom Brady's first six games of the year are better than his first six holes in that match play game there.
Man, was he slapping it around,
yeah.
Was he?
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. But I'm sticking with the Patriots. I'm telling you, Bill Belichick, he's going to pull a rabbit out of his hat. I'm telling you.
Man.
Huh.
If the Bills can't win the division this year. That's
well,
going to be
yeah.
tough.
I mean,
the Bills will win that division. All right, boys.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks,
He's
Pierre.
He's done.
There you go.
He's done. He's like, all right, I'm done. Like, were we done with him? I don't know.
We're done. He's gone. He's
yeah.
gone.
There's our hockey insider, Pierre LeBrun. He's joined us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom's open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota next to Wonderland or buy online at mapletoyota.com. Our next guest has been in my eyesight because Twitter's off to the left here. And it's just the video of him from he's laying down on the grass with a glass of wine, 30-foot shot.
Legend. Every day.
Every day.
He's after it every day.
Yes. I love it. I love it. He's a beauty.
We got to ask him some cat questions, too.
That's right. He's got a whole zoo over there, so you can ask him a lot of questions.
Oh, he has dogs and cats? I had no idea.
He never likes to post about
that.
No. Rico,
nothing.
The whole
Rico
gang.
Rico is my guy.
You love
it.
More on the Raptors, how the NBA is resuming the season, and Rico. When Overdrive continues on TSN 1050, TSN 4, and the TSN app. Welcome back to Overdrive. Mark Rowe, Jamie McClendon, and Jeff O'Neill. Yesterday, the NBA made it official. They are coming back July 31st with a 22-team format, 8 regular season games, and then the playoffs. The Raptors, well, we still have to find out who they'll be playing in the playoffs. So everyone is excited about that, but not as excited as we are about our next guest coming on the show. The legend himself, Leo Routens, and it's 5:25, so I don't need to ask you how you're doing. We know You're doing just fine, my friend.
Hey, you know, once you've twined and whined, it's all good.
Oh, my.
Are people saying to you, Leo, well, we're wondering if you're drinking too much. Every day at 5, you're having a glass of what you've had to have gotten that yet.
Okay, here's the two things. You know, in the morning, I kind of do a little coffee thing, give you a little positive message. So people think two things. I drink gallons of coffee and bottles and bottles of wine.
Perfect.
So I really do. I think there's people out there worried about me if I'm going to make it through this whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know?
So what are your thoughts on the details that came out yesterday with the 22 teams? It had been kind of reported for a few days, but 8 regular season games, and then for the Raptors, right into the playoffs.
No, I like it. You know, there were a lot of options discussed. And the reality is this, if you weren't in the playoffs with all the risks and liabilities and everything you got to factor in, for you to come back, play a few games, and then be done is not worth it. So now the teams that were on the cusp, you got a chance, like in the NCAA tournament, right? You got a chance to have a little play-in, maybe you get in, then it makes it all worthwhile. And then for the other teams, what I like about it, it's going to be like a playoff atmosphere from the beginning. The Raptors are going to play pretty much everybody is the playoff team, right? So you're going to be in there playing, and you got to perform. You got to get your game back to where it's going to be. Hopefully you maintain your seating. You don't want to drop down. But it gives you that playoff atmosphere going right into the playoffs. And, you know, for fans that have missed the game, for players that have been long in a play, I think it's going to be a great atmosphere of competitive basketball. Obviously, you know, you're not going to have the fans, but the level of play and what's at stake is going to be outstanding.
Leo, I don't know if you tracked that story about German basketball potentially, you know, them tracking their players and having that chip of where these guys are at all times in the NBA.
Where these guys are?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, and keeping an eye on them. And apparently the NBA is keeping an eye on that process just based on making sure that guys stay in the bubble, I would imagine. Is that something you think that the guys would fly with the guys at all?
Right. All I know is this. These guys have been waiting to play basketball, right? And I forget who it was. One of the players, not one of the stars, one of the, a bench player made a point that I do not want to be vilified and called out for me going out. All of a sudden, I catch it. I bring it back, and all of a sudden, my star or my team is out. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the guy responsible for that to happen. So, this is not going to be an easy task because if you make it to the finals, you're on lockdown for 3.5 months. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the gym and a hotel. And it's not going to be like, normally when you're at a hotel, you're enjoying all the perks of staying in a 5-star hotel. It's not going to be like that. I mean, it's your room, wherever you eat, and the gym. So it's going to take a lot of discipline, and that's where, the veteran teams, they're the ones that are going to really have to lock in and I think have an advantage because they understand what's at stake. I think the NBA, they've been a leader all the way through here. I mean, they kind of set the tone for the whole world when they suspended the league. And reality is they saved tens of thousands of lives because, the White House wasn't stopping anything. And Adam Silver did, and everybody followed him. And now, they're going to lead the way back, and they're just being really careful on how they do it. And you can bet they're going to take every precaution for the players.
You kind of answered my question there, Leo, in your response there. Who do you like? Do you like coming out of this? I know you probably like the Raptors' chances, but is it youth? Is it experience? Or is it just the NBA where the star power at the end of the day is going to get the job done?
Well, I think it's going to be fun because you got to remember, it's not going to be fans, but it's a global game. So the whole world's going to be watching. And the guys know that every time we step on the floor, everybody's going to be watching, these games. So I think there's going to be a lot of excitement from that standpoint. I do think experienced teams have an advantage simply because, again, you got to be locked in for this. Mm-hmm. This is going to be an entirely different feel. It's going to be a lot of pressure with every game. You're not going to have the same comfort levels that you normally have. And so it's going to, and it really starts now, right?
the veteran teams, the guys that have been around, know what's coming, and they're preparing mentally as well as physically. So obviously, you know, the Raptors, I think the best part about the suspended season was they all had an opportunity to get healthy. So if they could maintain their conditioning in some form or fashion, they're going to have an opportunity to repeat. And then, you know, obviously Milwaukee was playing at such a high level prior to the suspended season. So, you know, they're up there. Philadelphia is going to be healthy. And then you got Boston. And when you flip it over on the West, you know, you can't doubt a team with LeBron leading the way in this, especially in this situation, because here's a guy that's just so locked in that, you know, he's going to make sure nobody's messing around. Nobody's doing anything except preparing. And for all we know, he's probably had the team at his gym in his house.
No, I was just going to say, Leo, I guarantee you that whole team has been in his gym at his house practicing. No question
scrimmages.
About it. Yeah.
Hey, why not? Why not? Yeah. If I was LeBron, I'd have the boys over there too. And you know, and the West is going to be a little tougher. I mean, you know, you could sort of be Kawhi and the Clippers. You know, can the Rockets do something? Can the Denver Nuggets come together? So I think it's going to. And I do like the idea. I've never been necessarily opposed to the 1-16. I think that makes it interesting too. But you know, the battle in the East and the West, and kind of keeping it as is right now for teams to have that opportunity to kind of finish what they started, I think is a good way to go.
Joined by our Raptors analyst Leo Routens and one veteran player is Kevin Durant, and one team that the Raptors could face in the first round, the Brooklyn Nets. Now, there's been some speculation, hey, because of this, you know, this pause in the season, that Durant could come back. Today we're hearing that it doesn't look like he'll be healthy. It doesn't look like the Nets will kind of risk it. But do you think the Raptors are breathing a sigh of relief with Kevin Durant not being an opponent in the first round?
You know, hey, first off, from Kevin Durant's standpoint, he made the mistake once of coming back too soon. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's in the situation he is now. And if you're the Toronto Raptors, I don't think you worry about any one guy. I really don't. This is a very good team. They understand what happens at the defensive end of the floor. And they're a veteran team. And this is a team that I don't think really cares who they match up with. They just have to go out there and play the way they know how. So, you know, whether Kevin Durant ultimately does play or not, I don't think is the concern. The concern is get yourself ready, do what you know you have to do, and you know you got a shot to win.
Leo, do you like the way that the NBA laid everything out? I know O's been a real big supporter of all that, just basically saying, here's the dates, here's what we're doing, so that the fan base and everyone that follows the NBA can kind of get their head wrapped around it, maybe excited about it. I know the National Hockey League has not done that, so there, you know, there has been some criticism of that. Do you like how the NBA was just like, hey, we're going straight at it, here's your dates, here's what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's tremendous leadership, you know, Adam Silver again, because you know, he made it clear a while ago, it's not going to necessarily be about a date. It's about a data and how they can do this. So based on all the data he's had and all the research, and I know they've turned this thing upside down, you know, 50 different ways. And they got a good idea in their mind how they can do this and what they have to do. So once you have that, you know, I think it is better for the players, number one, so they can start mentally locking into what's coming. I think for the fans, it's great. I mean, wait, what's this all about, right? They're talking about big-time revenues, right? I mean, for a league that's losing, all these leagues are losing a lot of money. There's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars to be made here, and build up that expectation. You know, let people start talking about it now. And Adam Silver understands that. The NBA understands how to market and how to sell. But, you know, regardless of all that, they're going to do it the right way. They've got the whole thing laid out. And now, let's put one thing in perspective. It's all laid out, and there's a good plan in place, I think. But you guys would know as well as I do what we're in the midst of here. Mm-hmm. And with everything happening, we don't know, you know, two weeks from now, our whole environment could change again. So we don't know that, and that's one thing I think everybody's got to have in the back of their mind.
It's funny, we're getting information on a daily basis, and Woj just tweeted this out. For those visiting Disney World this summer and hoping to see an active NBA player roaming the parks and getting on rides, well, the Players Association made it clear that won't be happening for players nor the family members joining them. So in case you wondered, Leo, no Space Mountain for LeBron while this is happening.
By the way, Leo, if it was up to you, would you want to – there's been a big discussion, and it's not about guys being guys, but it's like, would you want to go by yourself, or you bring the whole clan along, or what would your plan be?
You know, that was interesting because I know that they talked about that, and obviously, you know, you want your family around you, but again, it's not going to be the normal, hey, let's stay in Ritz-Carlton or whatever hotel and you be with me. It's going to be lockdown, right? What I heard, a lot of things will change even within the hotels. How often you have room service, you know, how the meals are served, where you eat, how many people are actually preparing everything.
Well, how's the NBA going to monitor the people at the hotel, Leo? Like, are they on lockdown too? Because that's the big question everyone asks.
Yeah.
You can have the players in a bubble, but you don't know what the guy from rooms, what the hell is he up to? People want to know that.
That's exactly it. But that's why I'm saying there's going to be a lean down. At least from my understanding and talking to different people and reading a few things, that there'd be a lean down staff of the hotel. And again, how the amenities, like I said, just a room service. You don't really need, you know, for all intents and purposes, you don't necessarily need your roommate every day. You're going to need fresh towels, things like that, but you're not going to have to necessarily have your roommate cleaned every day. So there's going to be a lot of, you know, adjustments and tweaks to just living in a hotel. So reality is, if you have your family, say your kids or something, you know, it's not going to be a lot of fun for them to sit in a room and not to be able to enjoy all the amenities or, like I said, go to Disney World to do all that stuff. So they'll probably be more comfortable at home. And we live in a different time, right? You can FaceTime and you can, you know, do all these other things with your family and kids. So it's a sacrifice everybody's going to have to make. And remember, there's only two teams going all the way to October. You know, there's going to be a lot of teams heading home after a short period of time.
What does the world look like on July 31st? We hope it has basketball. Leo, it's a Friday night, so go have a second glass, at least a second glass for us, okay?
I can splurge, that's right. And you know what? Exactly. You know what the great thing is? I can't get, there's no risk because I'm not driving. I'm walking from one room to the other.
You got nowhere else to go. Oh, sorry. I think O has a question for you regarding... Yeah. Regarding cats.
I got a cat, Leo. Do you got any advice as far as Rico goes or behavior or keeping him in line?
Hey, I saw that cool apartment you got for him. I like that. I like that. I saw that on Twitter. No, you know what? I wasn't, you know, I never really had cats. And I'll tell you what, Rico's a cool dude, man. They kind of do their own thing, and they're fun. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy it a lot.
Awesome. All right, buddy. Awesome. Thanks, Leo. We appreciate it. We appreciate all the tweets and the videos during the pandemic, and we hope to be hearing your voice on a broadcast sooner rather than later.
I appreciate it. Can't wait to get back, and guys, stay safe as well as everybody out there.
Awesome
stuff. Hey, Leo, be good, buddy.
Leo Routens, right. Raptors analyst, joining us here on Overdrive as we get set for what we hope is the resumption of the NBA season on July 31st. Just one of the many dates the NBA has given us. Right,
I'm fine with that.
That's right.
And you know what's exactly right? Al's brother will join the show when we return.
Yes.
After this break here on TSN 1050, TSN 4, and also the TSN app. I can call you Daddy, and Daddy when you call right. Me, you call that music means one thing and one thing only. And, you know, when I prepared to fill in for Brian Hayes this week, which has been an honor, I had a lot of advice. You know, make sure that O and Noodles are happy. Make sure that you stay out of their lane. Make sure that we maybe unveil a new segment. And also, for the love of God, bring Al's brother back to the show. And that's what we're doing today. Al's brother. Welcome back to Overdrive. On TSN 4, there's the face that we've been missing.
Yes.
How are you?
We missed that guy.
Doing well. I'm hot. Very hot right now.
I bet. What? Like, it's...
I,
It's 30 degrees in Niagara, probably, and you're wearing a sweater. I love it. That's commitment.
Oh,
well, I'll tell you why.
This character.
I'll tell you why, exactly why I'm wearing this sweater. Because on Monday, you guys did a segment of Yes Guy, No Guy, and there was a question of whether or not that I was going to lose 20 pounds, and I want to prove both Jim Taddy and Jamie Noodles McLennan wrong, and the best way I can do that, instead of going and running around in a black garbage bag, I can do it by wearing this bad boy up in the 30-degree heat in an attic with no air conditioning. So
How is the attic? Are you surviving? Like, what's your routine? What are you doing to stay busy? What's the feeding routine like? Like, fill us in on Al's brother.
Well, this week's been a little more different than most weeks, but, you know, usually my routine was during the absolute heat of all this. I was sleeping in very late because there was nothing to do, so I'd sleep
in
until 1, 2 o'clock.
One or two.
I've been doing better, waking up earlier, roughly around like 10 o'clock or so, getting a little bit of work done, being productive, getting a healthy lunch in, doing a little bit of work, some podcasting, some reading, being productive. I'm trying to be more productive than I was in the past.
When's the last time you had a steak sandwich?
Week and a half ago, maybe.
You're due.
You're due. What is it, a steak sub you like, or what is it, Dave?
Yeah, like a Philly cheese. A Philly cheese steak. There's a place down the road that makes an unreal Philly cheese with just peppers and mushrooms, and that's it. And it's just phenomenal. Oh. Phenomenal.
So it's like a takeout situation? Like, are you, like, you know, you're obviously being smart and social distancing and stuff. You call and go pick it up? Like, what's the takeout? Like, what do you, is it delivery? Tell us. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we call ahead to Frank's Pizzeria. We call ahead, we go down there, we just order a large pie, and then we order a sub for each of us, pick it up, take it home, and we feed. But we do it here, right? You can't eat in the restaurants anyways right now, so everything's kind of a takeout situation. But when it's down the road, you can easily just go and pick it up.
I love it. So you miss the boys, I'm assuming.
Very much. I miss everybody.
We miss you, buddy.
Yeah, we miss you, bud. We're missing hockey, too. How you got the series handicap coming up for the NHL? What are you liking? What are you not liking? Upsets, et cetera. What do you got for us, Al's brother?
If I could give you one team that I think might be an upset favorite, one of the teams who are really going to benefit through the expansion of the playoffs, I think it's going to be the New York Rangers for a couple of reasons. One, I think the matchup against Carolina is quite favorable, actually, for New York. But then you take a look at their young goalie, Igor Shesterkin. The way that guy was playing at the end, but towards the end of the season, after he got called up, was unbelievable. And in a five-game series, all you need to do, really, is steal a game or two, and your team most likely is going to end up winning. On top of that, you got a guy like Mika Zibanejad having a career year, 40 goals. Artemi Panarin, unbelievable. They really reworked their decor. They've got some good vets that have some playoff experience. I think they're an underrated team, and I think that if there's one team that will benefit and could make a bit of a run, I think it's going to be the Rangers.
Okay, I like it. By the way, I like it. You do have Wi-Fi in that attic, right?
Sort of.
Okay, all right. So that would be an 11th. How do you feel about the Maple Leafs against the Blue Jackets?
I'll tell you what, I feel good. To an extent, here's the problem that I have. Again, I feel like with the five game series, and Jamie, maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong or not, but I keep looking at the goaltending matchups, and when I look at the Leafs and Columbus, and I look at Elvis Merzlikins, I can't help but look at that stretch, that run where Merzlikins had five shutouts in an 8-game span, and think if he is even half that good, the Leafs are in big, big trouble. And on the other end of the ice with Freddie Anderson, he typically gets off to a pretty slow start at the season back in October, and it takes him a little bit to heat up. And basically, the time between when the NHL stopped and when it's going to start again is pretty much going to be exactly the time that a full offseason would be. So it's almost like starting a new season. So for that, again, I look at the goaltending matchup, and I like Merzlikins, which scares me a little bit if I'm Toronto. But like, they got so much offensive firepower. If they can play, and if Matthews can pick up where he left off playing a solid two-way game, I'd like Toronto to win the series, but Merzlikins, again, can definitely steal a couple of games and give him a run for the money.
Well, I think it is going to be. I don't think there's anybody that's picking, you know, the Leafs to win in three. I would think Columbus. There's a couple things that I would throw out there, too. You mentioned five shutouts in eight games. Well, that team is so stingy defensively. So that's where you're going to have a team that has a lot of firepower against a team that plays a really economical defensive game, and they grind you down. So no inch on that ice surface is going to be for free. So the if the Leafs are willing to fight through it, they're willing to use their skill, but also dig in and take a hit to make a play and all of the cliches we're going to throw at it, especially with playoff hockey, I can see them pushing through. But if Columbus does what they did to Tampa and dug in on them, frustrated them, got underneath their skin to the point where I think people forget Kucherov got suspended because he was so rattled that he took a stupid suspension and he ended up missing his team losing. Like this is how bad it was for Tampa. So I think if Columbus goes with that mindset, and then you add in a goaltender like Merzliskins, he's a fantastic goaltender, and I would argue that Korpisalo may even get the first start because both of them have played very well this year. So it's high-powered offense against a really stingy defense. So one night it may be a 1-0 win. The next night it could be a blowout if the Leafs go through. So I still think this is going five games. I think the Leafs can win in five games, but it's not going to be a cakewalk.
Al's brother likes it.
That's the thing, too. I'm not exactly sure for some of these there's going to be kind of a question mark on who's going to start in net. They're another team, and then you look at some other players. Is Henrik going to get an opportunity, or is it going to be Shesterkin who ends up starting in net? So there's a couple of teams where you can say it could be one goalie or the other.
Yeah, I saw Larry Brooks wrote an article saying, basically advocating that Henrik deserves a chance, another opportunity to kind of start and maybe a swan song. But I would argue Shesterkin right now is probably their best chance. But again, this is an off season. This is a scenario where everyone's square one. So there's no reason to believe. And right now, I think the one thing that people aren't focused on is Sweden. They've been skating every day. If you check out Lundqvist, his Twitter page or his Instagram, like this guy's on the ice. He's on the ice every day. So he might be in fantastic shape. He might be in mid-season form. So they might go to Lundqvist and he can rekindle some of that magic. I don't disagree. I think the Rangers could be a real threat in the playoffs.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. I'm excited for the format. It's going to be different, but I think that's what you need in a time like this.
I agree.
Al's brother, next time we chat with you, maybe get some Wi-Fi or something to that effect.
Yeah, that 56.
Go to the it's the attic.
Go in the living room or something, Al's brother.
All right.
You got any, before I let you go, any new segments for the show when you come back? You kind of bringing up any ideas with all that
I've been
time
thinking. I've been thinking.
Okay.
I've been thinking. There might be some new stuff once we get back. Hopefully that's a lot sooner than later. Okay.
I've got one for you. Take a peek with Al's brother.
Ooh,
him and Strutty.
Yeah.
Him and Strutty
him
can
and
go
Strutty
out and take
taking
a peek.
Taking yeah. a peek. Get them all. Get him on FaceTime, Al's brother and Strutty. Have a jean off. See who has the nicest jeans.
I love it. Strutty.
Hands down, Strutty.
Maybe. You never know.
Awesome. Good to have you on the show.
Thanks, boys.
Enjoy. See you, Al's brother.
Al's brother joining us here on Overdrive. He's alive, and he's, I think, well.
He's being
he's
kept.
He's got to go into the living
kept.
Room. He's got to go into the living room next time.
I don't think you guys realize, like, he doesn't have an option to go in the living room. I think they've stuffed him in the attic like the gimp up there, and they're like,
that wood paneling is just phenomenal behind
it
him.
It is. It's glorious. He's glorious.
It's like at a cottage.
I love it.
A cottage with really bad Wi-Fi.
And he's got the flow going, a giant beard. Like, he is really working it right now.
Got
Al's brother.
Some Indian food maybe going. Maybe a steak sandwich this weekend.
Exactly.
Good
All
to have
of
him
it.
Back on the show.
Agreed.
So, looking forward to Joe Bowen at 6:05, the voice of the Maple Leafs. Where is he going to be to call these games? How does he feel about the matchup against the Blue Jackets? And then a little trivia with the one and only Mark Masters.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that as
Me
well.
Too.
As well as
I
Bones.
Can't wait
it's going to be fantastic.
Finish
fantastic.
Off the week properly.
That's
exactly.
Right.
I agree.
It's been a pretty good week. Hopefully the last hour puts the exclamation point on everything.
Agreed.
Awesome stuff. So we got that. Joe Bone at 6:05, Mark Masters at 6:25 as Overdrive continues on TSN 1050, TSN 4, and streaming on the TSN app.